Hello and welcome to the Hathaway and Coons audio blog. We're going to be covering all things Wyoming with respect to legal issues and matters occurring in Wyoming. My name is Matt Kaufman. I'm a partner with Hathaway and Coons.
And I'm Marianne Shaner, a partner as well with Hathaway and Coons.
Today we're going to do kind of a recap of the session, 2023 legislative session that just concluded last week. Marianne, maybe you can give us just a little statistical overview of kind of what occurred in terms of the bills.
Yes, absolutely. So the session just ended last Friday. There were a total of 497 bills, 196 of those passed. That's 39.4%. And so it was a busy session with a lot of bills, but of course, many bills died. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what the governor does when he receives a bill that's been passed by the legislature?
Yeah. So generally, after the legislature passes a bill, both houses, if there's differences from each side and there's a concurrence on those bills, then the bill goes to the governor to be signed. We've talked many times. Sometimes people request a signing ceremony, and oftentimes people see those pictures that are posted on social media or in the news where the governor holds a ceremony and all the stakeholders come and participate. But many times the bills get signed without that ceremony. Of course, lately there's been a lot of press because the governor can elect not to sign a bill. And after a certain amount of time passes, is it 15 days, I believe, the bill can become law without the governor's signature. So, for those listeners out there, you might have seen some recent press coverage on the governor discussing publicly whether or not he was going to sign bills or not. That's why. It's because there's discussion, at least in the governor and his staff, about do we sign a bill and thereby enact it? Do we veto the bill? Or do we not sign it and allow it to become law without signing? So there's a lot of ongoing discussion.
Yeah, and unique aspect about that is that if the governor receives a bill during the session, he has 3 days to act upon it. So he can sign it, he can veto it, or he can allow it to go into law without his signature during session. Then the legislature has an ability to override the veto with a 2/3 vote of each house. So that's a unique aspect, is that he has 3 days during session, and then he has 15 days if he receives a bill on the last day of session or in the period in which he wouldn't have 3 days at the end of session.
Yeah, and on that topic, one of the bills that I follow closely is the Wyoming Stable Token Bill, which has been in the news lately. It's currently sitting on the governor's desk for signature. What's interesting about that one, and I think maybe the reason it's drawing some attention, is for those that might remember, it actually passed last year and went to the governor's desk and he vetoed it. And now here we are in the next legislative session and it has passed again. And so I'm sure that there's a lot of consideration going on right now by the governor as to whether or not to veto again if he is against it, or to allow it to become law either through signature or no action. So very interesting process that a lot of people watch.
Indeed. Do you want to talk a little bit more about leadership power and the impact that that can have on bills?
I think that's another kind of really visible issue that's been in the media lately, and that is particularly with respect to the Speaker of the House. This year, there was a lot of press about some bills that made their way, many of them for third reading or final reading in the House, and the Speaker of the House is one of the individuals that controls the floor schedule and can control what bills are heard or considered. And so there was a lot of discussion about those bills that weren't advancing and weren't being presented to the floor, to the whole body for final debate and final vote. The subject matter of those bills ranged from, some of the transgender bills that have been in the media, abortion, education, and others. And so it's been interesting to kind of observe and watch the media discussion, but also the people and the pressure that the speaker gets on a daily basis, right? To prioritize bills and to prioritize topics. And again, a lot of people forget the power that an individual legislator like the speaker or the president of the Senate has when it comes to those types of dynamics.
Yeah. In addition to that, the majority floor leader has a lot of control because the speaker and the Senate president can control whether the bill's introduced and heard for consideration. And then the majority floor leader also has a say. If a bill makes it out of a committee, then he controls the floor and when that bill is heard and started in that process. And so it's not only the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, it's also the majority floor leaders in each of the houses.
Yeah, great point. So this year, there were obviously some topics that dominated the discussion. I think some of our predictions at the outset of this audio blog maybe held true. Obviously, the social issues, education, tax relief were kind of some of the big topics. But outside of that, there's been some specific bills and topics that we've kind of followed more closely. One of those being liquor licenses. And I know last time we kind of visited the progress that the liquor license changes were making. Maybe you could provide an overview, kind of an update of where things ended.
So there were amendments to the bar and grill liquor licenses, and the governor did sign that bill. And what it did is it provides more of these types of licenses to communities in Wyoming. It also added entertainment as a portion of what you have to make based upon food and other entertainment, non-alcohol sources for the liquor license. And so there'll be more of those available for economic development throughout the state of Wyoming. There was discussion to have a complete sunset on the restrictions of the number of those liquor licenses. However, that was taken out. So that will be, I think, an issue that is continuing to be addressed in the future. How about talking about disclosure of private cryptographic keys? That was another piece of legislation that we were following closely.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the sort of digital asset legislation, there were a few that came out this year. And at least in my mind, one of the most notable was this protection or non-disclosure of cryptographic keys. So in short, for those not familiar with digital assets, regardless of the type of digital asset, whether it's Bitcoin or something else, generally people hold those assets in some sort of a private wallet, an electronic wallet or a hardware wallet that requires a private key. It's like an alphanumeric code that enables you to initiate transactions, to spend it or to transfer it. And so there's a lot of discussion in the digital asset world about protection of that private key, because if that becomes public or somebody has that, it's the easiest way to get hacked or to be compromised in terms of your kind of digital identity. And so Wyoming is the first place to pass a protection that protects those cryptographic keys, so that if, again, I'm making up scenarios, but if somebody held it and they were going through a divorce, or an entity held it and the entity was being dissolved, or somebody was being sued for a judgment, they're under no circumstances required to make that public key, private key public and disclose that to anyone. So it's a major privacy protection for the digital asset world. From there, there's been a lot of discussion, as we mentioned a minute ago, about the Wyoming stable token. That's currently sitting on the governor's desk. And then lastly, there was a bill that enables the Wyoming Secretary of State's office to receive registration of digital assets. So it's kind of the first time and first place in the U.S. where you can go and put the public on notice that you have a particular digital asset and that you are registering it. Kind of like, I would liken it to the county clerk's office for filing deeds, you know, for property. You can go put the world on notice that I own this piece of property. Now in Wyoming, you can go, or you will be able to go file a registration statement and kind of put the world on notice that you own certain digital assets. So kind of an interesting piece of legislation. Marianne, now that the session is over, there's been discussion of interim topics, which obviously are topics that the standing committees of the legislature will prioritize and consider throughout the interim period. Can you maybe talk about that, how the committees establish interim priorities and what those topics likely, you know, manifest into in terms of action by the committee, and kind of what the interim period looks like for the legislature?
the committees meet at the end of session during the last week to discuss interim topics, and each individual legislator can bring forward topics. A lot of times those are in coordination with folks engaged in the process. Citizens can also work on providing topics that they would like the standing committees to discuss during the interim. And at the end of March, March 23rd, Management Council will meet to discuss the proposed interim topics by each committee. Management Council is comprised of the leadership of both the Senate and the House, and they will ultimately vote on and decide the topics for each committee to consider. During the interim, the committees meet three times throughout the time from when this session ended until the next session begins to discuss the interim topics. They can come forward with bills, which are joint committee bills between the House and the Senate, and we'll move forward in the 2024 legislative session.
Thanks for that recap, Marianne. So that concludes our 2023 legislative audio blog. Thanks for joining us and tuning in and listening. We will be back in the future with more Hathaway & Coons audio blogs, exploring all kinds of various topics of interest. So come back and join us again.
We look forward to the discussion.